First, Mr. Weiss, I want to thank you for giving me your time and doing an interview on me. You know how much this can help a bodybuilder and, you know, business and what else. To answer the first question on what hobbies I participate in, basically, my business takes up most of my time, so I guess I would say more or less my work somewhat of a hobby, which is more or less the bodybuilding, and I have a mail order business, distributorship in the Midwest. But mainly besides that and my bodybuilding, which are more or less one together, I like to cook. That's one of probably my favorite pastimes, more or less eating what I've cooked. And just more or less any kind of activities. I like to go to movies, more or less quiet things, relaxing things. I like to play, you know, racquetball now and then, run, biking, things like that. I became interested in bodybuilding mainly because at a young age I was very small for my age. Doctor had told me that I had no muscles and I was very small when I was about 5 years old. At least he said to my mother, and I had overheard him. So this really bothered me. So I mainly started weight training to increase my strength and more or less my overall size. I figured if I couldn't be the biggest guy in the world, I would at least be as strong as the big guys, or at least or stronger than them. As I started weight training, of course, I started to become interested in bodybuilding because of the magazines, and also by watching the Mr. Universe contest on TV. Again, the reason I became interested was because I was just more or less overwhelmed by the size and, you know, the overall power that these athletes possessed. I've been training now for basically about 9 years. As to what progress I've made, it's really hard to judge, at least in my case, because when I started I was 14 years old, probably maybe just before I turned 14, so it might have been the end of my years of 13. And you know, to compare the progress I've made from that age to now would be astonishing, considering I weighed about 100 pounds when I started, and now I weigh about 245, 250 pounds. So the progress obviously has been unbelievable, but you'd have to compare probably when I was mature to now. So I'd have to say my progress has been slow and steady over the last 9 years, but 9 years is a long time also to be bodybuilding. There was a period where I made very fast gains. I can honestly say that I've always been a very easy gainer. Even when I first started, results seemed to come, I guess you'd say, almost overnight, in the sense they were very steady and, again, pretty dramatic. But, of course, I've hit sticking periods. I believe it's 16 or at least 17. I had hit a sticking point where my body weight wouldn't really move. And I'd say one of the fastest gains I made was probably when I was 16, when I started training legs. My overall body weight went from about 135 to 176 pounds within a period of about 8 to 9 months. Also, I made some real, I made a lot of gains. That was why I made those gains. The next period probably was when I was about 18 or 19, and this was probably due to, again, just maturing, becoming older. So I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, hormones and, you know, the production, just going through puberty more or less, and I did go through puberty at a very late age. Besides making muscle gains, I also made tremendous gains in height. I'd grow 4 or 5 inches a year. Now, I guess the last other time I made exceptional gains or very fast gains was probably before the Mr. America, or between the Collegiate America in 82 and the Mr. America, and that's probably just because, I think, overall because of my training changed. I changed my training around in that I cut my sets down, I took a more relaxed attitude towards it, and I wasn't so uptight about it and didn't take it so, I still took it serious, but if I had a bad workout, well, that was just one day, and I didn't let it bother me. And I started to also listen to my body, and this period I also made, they weren't maybe the very fast gains, but I made very noticeable gains and improvements in my physique. And I think that was mainly due to more or less just to change in or improvement in my training style along with my knowledge, which also concluded the end of my, almost the end of my 4 years of college, where I was really getting specific in my degree in physiology of exercise and things like that, which really did help my training. Just to answer the one question I missed in the beginning about titles won, I won the Teenage New Jersey in 1979, and that was my first contest I ever won. The next contest that I had won, well, at least I won my height class in, was the Teenage America in 80 and the Teenage USA, which were both in 80. I won my the heavyweight class in both of those shows. I also won the Mr. Southern New England that year, the Teenage Southern New England, the Novice Mr. Southern New England, and that was it. And in body parts there, I won Best Back and Best Poser. The next show after that that I won was the Mr. New England in 82, and then the Collegiate Mr. America, which were a couple weeks apart. And then finally, before the Mr. America, I won the Eastern America, or the Eastern USA in 83, the Mr. America, and then the Mr. Universe, and they were all in 83. In the beginning, when I began training, I did prefer to train at home because I didn't have to wait for anything. I could set everything up ahead of time and keep my workouts very intense and sort of get right through them. But as my strength increased and the need for more advanced equipment or just better, heavier duty equipment, I had to start training at gyms. Also, I was forced to train in gym when I went to college. But if my hope, my dream anyway for me in training would be to build my own home gym where only I and a couple of friends of mine would probably train, where I would have all top equipment. And again, the main reason is because I find I'm much more intense when I train by myself or in my own sort of den or atmosphere, because I make the atmosphere, and again, I don't have to wait for anybody or anything that might decrease my training intensity. One of the major movements that which will cause an injury in myself or always cause a strain feeling is bent over barbell rowing. I've always had a weak lower back. It runs in my family, and I've never, and even to this day, cannot do a bent over barbell row without straining my back. Whether it's due from just my muscle attachments and the length of my torso or something structural, I really don't know. At one time, I'd always had chronic lower strain in my lower back from any kind of back work, but I did injure, go beyond this when I had tried to squat and had, you know, injured the lower back. I'd injured a disc, and this took probably 7 or 8 months to recover from, and I can't really say it was caused from improper warm up. It's just probably something unknown. I don't know why it happened. More or less, it was probably just from training with a strained lower back and then trying to push to my limit or whatever. And I think that's one of my major problems, is I do overtrain, which is, of course, is a major reason for injuries besides improper warm up. Well, I can't really say that I've burned out or go stale on certain exercises. I think I've gone stale on every exercise in the book, and that's probably, I think it's not necessarily going stale because of the movement, but I think it's possibly or most probably just from boredom. You do the same thing day in, day out, it becomes routine, and psychologically you just might not be up for it, so you get a sticking point, or as you noted, you go stale. And this might go on for days. Usually goes on for weeks with myself. And I just usually train through that period. I do mainly all basic exercises, and I stick with those exercises. So I really, very rarely change them. I think it just has to do with my psyche. The way I sort of get out of the stone, so I sort of cut back on the intensity of my training, and more or less just flow through this period. Just go to the gym and go through the work or go through the motion until I get that urge again to start kicking up. I think it has to do with, again, listening to the body and letting it tell you when it's ready to go. Again, the main thing I think is it's psychological, and the muscle contraction, a lot of muscle contraction strength is mainly because of improved muscle innervation. So what happens is if your excitement level isn't up, and because maybe you're bored of the exercise and you're going to the gym, or maybe it's just routine, your core's not going to have as good maybe a neurological flow to that muscle group. Whereas if you went into the gym and all of a sudden something scared you, got you psyched, you'd probably do a lot better. So I have to, again, just say that I probably go stale on every movement, but I just sort of go through that staleness, and might be a weather change or anything that might get me out of it. That's your next question on skin tone. To be honest with you, I've never really thought about achieving proper skin tone. I was always had good skin, especially when I was younger. I had real good skin. I don't even take care of my skin probably whatsoever. I don't put any moisturizers on it. I buy a moisturizer and it sits in my cabinet for 2 years and I end up throwing it out. Sun tanning is important to a competitive bodybuilder, and it just helps his overall appearance. It looks a lot better. Just shows more muscularity. But sun tanning is probably one of the worst things for your skin, in the sense of ruining skin tone, and that it does prematurely age the skin. But again, I have never really thought about proper skin tone or what it takes to get that. Again, I always sort of had very good skin. Basically, the exercise principle that I use more or less, or try to think over, that works best when applied really to everyone is you should always do strict movements. It's not the movement of the bar going up and down that builds muscle, but it's actually the contraction of the arm that moves the bar up and down, which is stimulating the muscle. It's the movements that build muscle, not weight. So I definitely have to say that very strict movements are important. Also to train consistently, which means not missing workouts, and training consistently hard. So by staying with strict movements, training heavy and hard, and consistent, I think that works best for me. I have done supersets. I have done giant sets. cheating movements I might do, but I think these are all tools, as are a carpenter's tools to him. If he doesn't know how to use the tools, he's not going to be able to build very much, no matter how many tools he has. But if a carpenter with just a couple tools knows how to use them, he can build a lot with that. And I think the same thing goes with bodybuilding. We have all these tools, or supposedly different principles, such as the cheating, supersets, and whatever. And if they're used correctly, I think you maximize your results, and probably each one has its use. But I can't really say that by using these tools one might necessarily work better. I think it all comes down to, again, the strict movements, consistency, and then again just training heavy, hard, and again consistently heavy and hard. Supersets I found work well for me. Giant sets are, they work. They're good before a contest. Each one of these tools, again, used at certain times, can definitely just be a plus to your training. But I think the basic three things I stated are probably what work best for me and really for anyone. I would have to say that any junk foods which might smooth me out are usually, over a period of a week, are usually salty foods. Any kind of fatty, salty food. Such as cheese, just a ton of anything really which has a lot of salt will retain fluid in your body, can smooth you out. Your skin can be as thin as crepe paper, but if you're retaining fluid, you can look smooth as a baby no matter how low your body fat is. So for me it tends to be the salty junk foods, but basically I don't eat any salty junk foods. I don't really find anything. I don't really eat this stuff, so especially if I'm in good shape, I tend not to touch this stuff. against salty food will smooth me out in a period of a couple days. Heck with a week. I think rest and sleep are probably just as important in the training for any bodybuilder, whether it's competitive or not. I think I have to remember that bodybuilding is just a period of overloading the body and then letting the body adjust to that overload. And the only time the body does adjust is when you rest or, such as sleep. I don't believe that you should have, 8 hours a day is probably enough sleep, maybe an hour nap. But again, 7 to 9 hours is probably, I'd more or less like to say 8 to 10 possibly is probably a good amount of sleep. But again, 9 hours I think is about right. As you start getting past that, you might be getting a little too much, as long as it's regular. But rest is very important in the sense of recuperation of a bodybuilder. You're not going to gain without it. You could train all day long, and if you don't get enough or have enough time or rest to recuperate from that work, you're not going to gain, of course. I personally don't believe in the next question, in that heavy training cannot be carried out while holding a job or being married. I did all my training through college, which was a heck of a stress load, along with working to get my butt through college. My last year of college, I was probably under most stress of my life, and that's when I probably did my best. I was working two jobs, one on weekends and one during the week, plus going to school, plus I was married, and I lived in a one-room room. So it was very tight and very stressful situation. But and then that summer, I worked two jobs, right up to the Mr. America. I went to school again, took organic chem the summer, and again I was married. So I don't feel that's right. If you can't carry a normal lifestyle along with your training, I don't think it's worth it unless, of course, you're making tons of money. I don't think you could be a professional bodybuilder and necessarily hold a big job, because first of all, you're always traveling. You just know you could carry or hold a regular job. As for being married, it's definitely a stress on the marriage, as I would know. But I don't think it necessarily means that you can't be, you couldn't make it. During a workout, I might drink water at the fountain, but only when I'm thirsty. I don't necessarily take in a lot of liquid, just a normal amount when I'm thirsty. It just might be a sip of water. I wouldn't take in juices or milk ever, juices I might, but never milk, because you don't want anything in the stomach, especially milk, which really isn't a liquid, it's more or less a food. It's carbohydrate, fat, and then protein, whereas juice is just water and carbohydrate, and water is just water. And mainly you probably want to drink during a workout, not really to energize yourself or to eat or to get a meal, but mainly just to replace any water you may have lost. I just say, again, drink as much fluid in the sense of water that's necessary. I did contract hepatitis my senior in high school. I'd worked in a hospital and I'd gotten viral hepatitis. And I did stop training just for a little bit, not for a period of time, not really totally. I'd always maybe do one or two, something once or twice a week. But I've never, unless I've been deathly ill, such as a very high temperature or whatever, I've never really terminated my training or stopped training. I go through colds, flu, as long as it's not, again with fever, but I do a train accordingly to how I feel again. If I feel like total, hell, then I'm not going to go in and try to have the strongest workout of my life. I train accordingly. And then when I do resume training, if I ever do have a period where maybe an injury I have to lay off, I more or less slowly get back into my training. I used to just try to shoot right back in and when I was younger and get right back to where I was real quick, and now it just seems that because maybe I've reached a higher level of fitness or strength. I just can't jump right back into heavy stuff again, or necessarily the same do the same stuff without having, you know, dying basically. I try to get my fitness back up, over a period of a week or two, and then try to go on from there. As for tips, for the bodybuilder entering his first contest, basically I would have to say that the bodybuilder should probably have a nice pair of trunks, clean shaven, up, you know, his face, you know, haircut, the whole deal, as also being very neat with the removal of body hair. Try to get a good tan, whether natural or from a bottle, and try to put together a good routine. And that would more or less be my tips, necessary for the bodybuilder. And if he's very much, make sure also when he goes in a contest that he does have somewhat of a build, or he is far enough into the bodybuilding to make a good show. It's ridiculous to train for a couple months and then go into a contest. Bodybuilding is something that you look at in the sense of months, years, and that's it. You don't look at it in terms of days or weeks. It takes a long time to build muscle, and you have to be very patient. And that's also one thing I wanted to say earlier, is that besides being consistent, you have to be patient. You can't rush nor force muscle to grow. I can say that I still receive inspiration from magazines, but not necessarily as much instruction. And of course, in the beginning, you were green, wet behind the ears, or green, and any information you read was of the utmost importance, where now advanced information is very hard to find, something that you haven't already heard. I think I learn more from other bodybuilders than I do from any magazines. but again, the difference in the inspiration that when I see guys who I might be competing against inspires me to, you know, to train harder, and you know, hey, they're training, they look great, I have to look greater, or I have to look better. That's the more the inspiration, whereas when I was younger I wanted to look like those guys. So you know, I still I have to say that a lot of the magazines give some information, but I don't really do much reading of magazines anymore. I try to try things that I hear from other bodybuilders that seems to work for them, and sometimes what you read in magazines always isn't true. My favorite muscle magazine publications are probably Iron Man. I loved Muscle and Fitness, especially in its early years when it was Muscle Builder and Power, but I still like to read Muscle and Fitness now and then. And again, the Iron Man, more or less all the magazines. I don't necessarily have one favorite. It depends on what articles are in the magazines. And I like Muscle Development, MD. I love Bob Kenny's magazine. I think he has some of the best photos in the business. A very gutsy magazine. And I'm sort of, the magazines today are getting away from the hardcore bodybuilding, and that's more or less the magazines I used to really enjoy, especially again Muscle Builder and Power, or Muscle Fitness in its early days. I think was one of the top magazines because it was just hardcore and, you know, all the top guys. It's hard for me to really make a statement on how I maintain a positive family relationship, because I really don't have much of a family, but my ex-wife and myself, I didn't really maintain a positive family relationship. I more or less phased out of things, but I used to do all the cooking. I used to get psyched over going to the movies and doing things like that. I can say I did look positive above it. It's just that sometimes you don't have the energy all the time after working all day. Sometimes you just want to come home and sit down and rest. Again, I'm not much of a family man. As you know, I have no children or anything like that, so it's really not my place to make any comments here. As for my plans in future bodybuilding, I do definitely plan to turn pro 1985. That will be at the Pro Mr. World in Worcester, where it's $50,000 prize money. And from there on, that's about my future plans for bodybuilding. And anyway, competition-wise, and of course, I always want to improve the sport the best I can. I love bodybuilding. If I can make it better, or at least give it a better image, well, then that would be part of my future plans also. The next question, I guess, would have to deal a lot with heredity. Why some people win big titles, why other people don't, can be more or less compared in any sport. Why are some people, even though two fellows may work out the same and both give the same effort, say in football, for example, one might become a pro and the other might not make it. I think a lot of it has to come down to heredity. I think we're all born with a certain genetic potential in any avenue. Might it be, you know, whether it's a job or whether it's bodybuilding. But I think bodybuilding more so involves a heredity factor because you can be very persistent and very consistent and train hard as hell, but just not have the genetics or the hereditary factors, and you'll never become a Mr. America or whatever. On the same sense, though, I have to also say that I'm not putting down persistence and consistency in training, but those are also important because, let's face it, there's a ton of people walking around possibly with better genetics than other people, but because they never apply themselves or have the persistence, the discipline, and everything else, they'll never be a Mr. America, whereas the guy whose genetics aren't so good will win because, he is more persistent, consistent. I think it goes back to how I look at my success of and you know, my success in bodybuilding or my success in my training comes through, again, training hard, but training consistently hard, the good discipline, and also the consistency. You have to be consistent. And I think all the factors are sort of equally important, but I have to, in a sense, to become good, but one that will make a difference of you being a Mr. America, and I do believe is a hereditary factor. Again, there's you can have all the persistence, discipline, and consistency in the world, and if you don't have that genetic aspect, you may never be as good as anyone else. well, I think bodybuilding definitely is a growing sport, and it is being looked at differently. People are finding out that bodybuilders all aren't dumb. They also found out it's not just a muscle sport or athletic event, but a very intellectual one. Today, with all the good guys coming up, you have to know about training. You have to know about physiology. You have to know about nutrition. There's a lot more to it than just lifting weights, and I think the public is being made more aware of this. But I still think they're very far behind, again, because they still have the same old stereotypes and things like that. As for competitive bodybuilding, until the money is in the sport, until there's the overall following, I don't think we're going to see, big super TV following, because, again, people more or less, the money's behind the sports that create money. Until bodybuilding starts creating a lot more money, I don't think we'll see tons of, TV or bodybuilding on TV. I still feel you'll see it once in a while. And also, the future bodybuilding also, I think, tends to lie in the bodybuilders or the top guys who are now making it. Arnold was one of the first to get things going. More so to bring it to the public eye and through Weeders magazine, and I think still it's the top dogs that are going to make bodybuilding, because they're going to create the image and things like that. So I think the future of bodybuilding is more decided upon the guys who are at the top now and the type of image they portray. Now, I can definitely say that my beliefs in bodybuilding, it definitely changed over the year. I think unless you do continually question your own
beliefs and training practices, I don't think you can ever get better. You have to always try something new and always be willing to change. First of all, my nutrition has changed totally in the last 4 years to a very high-carb diet, no more starvation diets, which used to be the high-protein, low-carb diets, which are more or less outdated now. Equipment, that's always changing, and more or less I think you just change with the equipment. Personally, I don't really have any views of equipment. If it feels good, I use it, and if it doesn't, I don't. Now, as for exercise principles, that's definitely changed, because now I'm from worrying about how much weight I use, you know, decent form, now I concentrate on the form and the feel of exercise or the feel of movement, and I don't as worry so much about weight. I still strive to be as strong as possible, but I only use weights now that I can handle within my with using good concentration and also using very strict form, and again, concentrating on the feel of the movement instead of necessarily how much weight I'm using in the movement. I can definitely say there is one individual who's really influenced my bodybuilding career, and that's Bob Gruskin. I've worked with Bob Gruskin now for, more or less since I was 17 years old, and I honestly feel that without his knowledge on professionalism and creating a good image, a stage presence, and being very professional in your appearance, and I don't feel I would have gotten as far as I have without his help. He's truly does know a lot in the sense of presentation and tanning and all contest preparation type things, along with training and things like that. So he has had a very big influence on my bodybuilding career. So I don't think I would have gotten where I was as fast without his help. I can just sped up the time. I'd have to also, give credit to my parents, more or less how they brought me up. They brought me up always to do something, do it right. They taught me discipline through, being very strict, and have to do well in school, do work around the house. They taught me the value of a lot of things, and I think I have to give them a lot of credit, because that did influence my bodybuilding and how I look at my bodybuilding, and more or less over my overall philosophy and views of my life. So I think that they've also molded me into being a very persistent, consistent, disciplined person. They've also been somewhat supportive. Now they're totally supportive. They weren't so when I first began. They couldn't understand it, but now they're behind me 100%. That was a lot, all my family, my brother, my sister, everyone. a lot of friends. I have to say, anyone you meet, to me, always has an influence on you if they mean anything to you. And I'd have to say all my friends that I've trained with, and Rick Britt at the Barbell Club definitely had an influence on me, because he's a very fair person, and he did help me out, giving me sponsorships, trusting me, helping me with my training. So I definitely have to give credit to my parents, friends, and family, Bob Gruskin and Rick Britt. And anyone else who maybe I forgot, just out of the lack of memory, I'd also, there's a lot of people I think who have influence on your bodybuilding career. Now to go into these off-season questions, during this period of time, I basically train how I feel, again, which is even before a contest. I always try to train heavy. But once in a while, if I feel a little under the tubes, I won't try to be strong or train heavy. If I don't feel like I can handle the weight, I might have a few light days. It depends on injuries, more or less in my off season, which I haven't had now in about a year and a half. I like to say I don't have an off season. There's no such thing as an off season. I make my living from this, and I always have to try to stay in decent shape. which has put a lot of stress on my, it's given me a lot of injuries and from my stress levels and training intensity and whatnot. But during an off time, if I do have a period of time, I try to train a little lighter and train a little easier, mainly just to let some, if I have any injuries, heal up. As for how many exercises I'll perform, usually between 2 and 4 per body part, which is, it doesn't really change. Again, my off season and pre-contest are basically the same. The only thing that changes is the diet. In my off season, as the strength training, again, I always train for strength. I'm a bodybuilder. I want to be strong, but I always try to train for that muscle mass and size. And the way you get increased muscle mass and more size is by training for strength. So, they sort of go hand in hand. I just keep my rep ranges in the 8 to 10 range, which is found to be superior for attaining muscle hypertrophy in your weight training. But I just sort of gear my workouts towards, again, muscle mass. But you also increase muscle mass, you have to increase strength. Again, my training doesn't change really much whatsoever from off season. I just am probably more intense before a contest. Usually in the off season, I'll train on a 3-on-1-off, 3-on-2-off type schedule, which is just 3 workouts, train the whole body in 3 days, a day off, then training 3 days again, then taking 2 days off. I find the 2 days off tend to give me just a day of recuperation if I need it, an extra day to recuperate, but I don't necessarily take it unless I really need it. Exercises, well, for chest, I'll do incline bench, maybe decline, flat flies, and pullovers. As for sets, reps, and pounds, well, basically, my sets range between 3 to 4 sets for each exercise, again 8 to 10 reps. And then as for poundages, it's ridiculous for me really to go into the poundages because they do change throughout the year depending on my strength and more or less on my strength. Again, I don't want to worry about poundages, so to get into them, I have to sit there and think about how much I work out with. It's just I can't really recall everything. At least in the off-season time. For my shoulders, which I'll do next on, say, day one, I'll do after my chest, I'll do upright rows, lateral raises, and maybe bent over laterals, cable laterals. Again, 3 to 4 sets apiece, 8 to 10 reps. Then triceps, lying French press, seated French curls, and pushdowns, 3 sets of each, 8 to 10 reps. Then on day two, I'll also do abs on any one of these days. And in the off season, I just tend to do 3 or 4 sets of either crunches, leg raises, or twists. Usually one on each day, that's about it. My abs are one of my genetically weak body parts, and I've trained them. I've done hundreds of sets, hundreds of reps, moderate sets with using weights, and my abs just seem not to respond like any other muscle part. So in the off season, I find when I sort of let off in the set a little bit, they seem to thicken up. So maybe it's just I don't have a lot of muscle mass, or I don't know. Anyway, day two I usually do legs. Here maybe I'll do now because I have a knee injury. Normally I would do front squats. Duck presses or leg presses with the feet stance wide, and then hack squats. And again, I do 3 to 4 sets on each one of these for 8 to 10 reps. Then I'll go into, for hamstrings, leg curls, 4 sets of 10. Then standing calf raises, 3 or 4 sets of 10. And then toe presses on the leg press for probably 3 sets of 12. Okay. Now, the final day, I do back and biceps, and on this day I usually start off with cable rows. I might do dumbbell rows, I might not. Usually then I go into 5 sets of cable rows of 8 to 10 reps. Then I go into strict rows on a strict rowing bench for 3 sets of 10. Then I'll go into pull downs behind the neck, three sets of 10, pull ups possibly, or pull downs to the front for three sets of 10, and or 8 to 10. And then I usually go deadlift once a week, and if I don't deadlift, I do hyperextensions. With my deadlifts, I use more or less a power type schedule, except again, I do again 8 to 10 reps, never below 6. So I'll warm up with 3 or 4 sets, like a pyramid style. Once I get to the weight I'm going to use, then I'll stay there for, again, 3 or 4 sets, usually 3 sets of 8 to 10 reps. And that's about it. That's for my off season. Again, just the sort of a little more low key, a little more relaxed. Again, mainly just to let my injuries heal. But I really don't have an off season. My workout period, more or less, lasts anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, depending on what I have to do and how much I have to do, and if I'm moving through or maybe a little slow that day. But usually anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. I try to always keep it under 2 hours. during the off-season, my weight might increase so that it might decrease. And again, it depends on that period of the off-season. I usually try to stay within 12 pounds, 8 to 12 pounds of my contest weight. And again, a lot of it's just fluid increase because you're low on the your fluid intake's high and your salt intake's usually a little higher, so usually I might fluctuate from say a 228 pound contest weight to a 248 or 240, okay, which again is anywhere from 12 to 18 pounds, but again I try to keep it with 8 and 10, but that's 8 and 10 pounds of fat. I don't include the fluid unnecessarily. I've never had any difficult really losing weight as long as I diet or don't eat, but I found that over the past year, because I have been watching my diet constantly throughout the year, I find that when I do have to diet to drop my body fat, I do have problems now, because I guess my metabolism adjusts so easily to the difference. As for gaining weight, I've always had problems gaining weight. I usually have a body weight where I can eat almost anything in sight, and I won't gain a pound. And in the same sense, I don't lose weight. And then when I start to diet, I drop weight very quick until I start to get my skin or my body fat levels way down. I sort of also want to, I tend to believe I'm very thin-skinned, and basically a fast or medium metabolism. I've never, before the Mr. America, Miss Universe, I was dieting on 3,000 to 3,200 calories a day, which is for many a feast, and I was losing 2 pounds a week on that. So I do believe I have a fast metabolism. I always have. As for bulking up, I really don't believe in bulking up in the sense of just eating. A lot of guys bulking up means just eating tons of junk. And I believe bulking up is a good excuse to eat whatever you want. And I don't believe in the bulking up aspect of bodybuilding. I believe that you do have to try to put on some weight, but it should be good weight, muscle, not fat. You should consume more calories somewhat than you're eating, but this should be in food that are going to help your body, such as chicken, your regular diet foods, but just in greater quantity and calories. And you might want to increase the fat level, your fat intake, from maybe 8% to maybe 20% of your diet, or 15%, just for health reasons. But again, there's no, for me, bulking up means putting on weight, almost fat, and I see a lot of guys who bulk up on ice cream, things like that. Well, that's just ridiculous, and it's not really healthy, just to add extra weight like that, especially if it's not healthy weight. I always think of bulk training, as you term it, just training for muscle mass. Again, should always be specific. If you need a lot of leg work, well, then that would be the bulk of your mass workouts. And would be to improve your legs. But you shouldn't, again, you should always keep an eye that bodybuilding is the overall physique, so you have to, you know, work on your body to keep that goal in mind. Again, you go into, you asked me here how many workouts a week for bulk training. Again, I don't believe, again, I don't know what you mean by bulk training, but, you know, say, to me, it's always trying to put on muscle mass. That's my off-season workout. Again, between 6 and 12 sets of body part, 8 to 10 reps, and the rest periods should be probably between a minute and 45 seconds, a minute and a half. Again, with using all basic exercises, as I stated earlier. During the off-season, again, I don't really consider myself ever having an off-season, especially if I'm making my money from exhibitions and you know, posing exhibitions. So I just have to say that I'm in good enough condition to perform the posing exhibitions, but I usually, these are things that are planned months ahead of time, nothing that is just a spur of the moment where somebody calls you up and wants you to guest pose. So I'd have to say that I'm ready, but again, I'm usually, you know, again, your condition changes throughout the year. You can't be in constant shape throughout the year. So it all depends more or less on my preparation. I might watch my diet a little more if I know I have an exhibition coming up in a month or something like that. But yes, I am usually close enough to do an exhibition.